George told the doctor he'd have to land his fish or cut it loose because there was a bad sky coming down on us. The doctor didn't answer. He just heaved harder on the pole, bent forward and reeled the slack and heaved again. Billy and the girl had climbed around to the bow and were talking and looking down in the water. Billy hollered that he saw something, and we all rushed to that side, and a shape broad and white was becoming solid some 10 or 15 feet down. It was strange watching it rise, first just a light coloring, then a white form like fog underwater, becoming solid, alive. "Jesus God!" Scanlan cried. "That's the doc's fish!" It was on the side opposite the doctor, but we could see by the direction of his line that it led to the shape under the water. "We'll never get it in the boat," Seafelt said, "and the wind's getting stronger." "He's a big flounder," George said. "Sometimes they weigh 200-300. You got to lift him in with the winch." "We'll have to cut him loose, Doc," Seafelt said, and put his arm across the doctor's shoulders. The doctor didn't say anything. He had sweated clear through his suit between his shoulders, and his eyes were bright red from going so long without glasses. He kept heaving until the fish appeared on his side of the boat. We watched it near the surface for a few minutes longer, then started getting the rope and gaff ready. Even with the gaff in it, it took another hour to drag the fish into the back of the boat. We had to hook him with all three other poles, and McMurphy leaned down and got a hand in his gills, and with a heave he slid in, transparent, white, and flat, and flopped down to the bottom of the boat with the doctor.
"That was something,"
the doctor panted from the floor, not enough strength left to push the huge fish off him.
"That was certainly something."
The boat pitched and cracked all the way back to shore, with McMurphy telling grim tales about shipwrecks and sharks. The waves got bigger as we got closer to shore, and from the crests, clots of white foam blew swirling up in the wind to join the gulls. The swells at the mouth of the jetty were combing higher than the boat, and George had us all put on life jackets. I noticed all the other sports boats were in. We were three jackets short, and there was a fuss as to who'd be the three that braved that bar without jackets. It finally turned out to be Billy Bibbitt and Harding and George, who wouldn't wear one anyway on account of the dirt. Everybody was kind of surprised that Billy had volunteered, took his life jacket off right away when we found we were short and helped the girl into it. But everybody was even more surprised that McMurphy hadn't insisted that he be one of the heroes. All during the fuss, he'd stood with his back against the cabin, bracing against the pitch of the boat, and watched the guys without saying a word, just grinning and watching.